Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews all on the app. Download today.
Enzo. No, not right now.
Lots of us feel like we understand our dogs. But scientists who actually study dogs say we might be a bit overconfident.
We're just not as smart as we think we are when it comes to understanding our dogs.
This week on Explain It To Me, do we actually know what our dogs are feeling? Or are we just fooling ourselves? New episodes every Sunday.
Hey, it's Charlie. I've got this question that's been haunting me, and maybe it's been haunting you too. Why does this economy look great on paper but feel terrible in our wallets? We're all desperately searching for clues about what's really happening to our financial lives. But what if the answer isn't in the stock market or unemployment numbers? What if it's hiding in our Spotify playlists? I recently joined the Vox podcast Explain It To Me to dive into this exact mystery. Could our music actually predict whether we're sliding into a recession? We explored recession pop, a term that first lightly surfaced during the Great Recession, but really exploded into playlists, radio formats, and even DJ sets throughout 2024 and 2025. I jump in during the second half of this episode of Explain It To Me with Jonclyn Hill, but trust me, the entire conversation is worth your time. Check it out and subscribe to Explain It To Me wherever you get podcasts, because who knows, maybe your playlist might just hold the economic forecasts you've been looking for.
Liquor sometimes is sort of seen as a recession-proof thing.
So are our playlists indicating larger economic trends?
There is a super wide range of so-called recession indicators online right now.
Hey there. I'm Jonclyn Hill, and this is Explain It To Me, where we answer the questions that matter most to you.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
Hi, my name is John Ribeiro. I live in Boston, Massachusetts. I work at a liquor store, and one of the things that my colleagues and I talk about is how we notice more people are using cash. And we always notice that when there's sort of uncertainty in the economy, it seems like maybe more people are managing to use their money by having it physically so they can sort of keep track of how much they're spending instead of potentially overspending and treating their debit card like a gift card. I wanted to know, what are the real recession indicators outside of like the things that you see on TikTok?
That's a great question, John. And to find out, I reached out to journalist Hannah Aaron Lang.
I am a reporter on the markets team at the Wall Street Journal. I've covered the economy and business for most of my journalism career. And basically what I do now is watch the stock market every day and write about what it means for real people.
So when you log on to your social media of choice, you know, you see all these people calling things recession indicators, you know, low-rise jeans, cutting down on manicures. What's fueling these online recession indicators?
I would say there's been some kind of bad vibes floating around the economy for a while now, probably in some shape or form since the start of the pandemic.
Can somebody explain to me in crayon-eating terms why I make over 3 times the federal minimum wage and I cannot afford to live?
This economy is so bad. $33 for toilet paper? We can't even afford to shit.
I know the economy is getting worse and worse because more and more of my Uber drivers have been white. And this is terrifying.
I think a lot of that has come from the inflation we saw kind of coming out of COVID.
Everything that we need, coffee cups, coffee, sugar, milk, everything is a lot more expensive. Everything is inflated.
When I go into the grocery store, it's sticker shock.
It's not like it used to be.
I used to try to buy 1 month's worth of groceries, but not anymore.
Prices climbed quite quickly, and the inflation rate has come down a lot since then, but you know, we're still looking at the higher cost of rent, eating out, other goods and services, and I think that's difficult for everyday people to navigate. Things have also just gotten more chaotic this year in general when we think about markets and the economy. In early April, President Donald Trump announced this plan for sweeping tariffs on much of the United States' trade partners across the globe.
You see the numbers. The numbers are so disproportionate. They're so unfair. At the same time, we will establish a minimum baseline tariff of 10%.
Basically saying we were going to impose these huge charges on imported goods that really spooked investors and financial markets, and stocks fell sharply. And as those major stock indexes tumbled and investors tried to, you know, make sense of what this was going to mean for the United States, we started to hear people on Wall Street talk about the potential of a recession again as a result of the kind of economic turmoil caused by this trade policy plan.
I think it's more likely than not we're going to have a recession. And in the context of a recession, we'll see an extra 2 million people be unemployed. We'll see losses in household income.
What are some of the top so-called recession indicators being talked about right now?
There is a super wide range of so-called recession indicators online right now. This can be everything from a skincare company selling eggs.
The prices of eggs have dramatically gone up. So The Ordinary, a skincare company, said, we're going to take this problem on and give you an ordinary price of $3.37 for eggs.
To Press-On Nails coming back.
Recession indicator. Princess Nails. I haven't seen one person in long acrylic stiletto coffin nails in a very long time. Everybody got some short nails on.
To certain fashion trends like
women in menswear and women in office wear.
If no money, we can't have two outfits for work and play.
When the business gets casual, the money goes out the door. Okay, the second bitches start putting on blazers and a collared shirt, it's over. Keep a lookout.
And they can range from the reasonable.
So I'm a curbside shopper at HEB. And honestly, guys, the number one recession indicator should be that everyone is getting spaghetti.
To what I would call the more ridiculous, like sightings of Snooki from Jersey Shore.
Is Snooki falling backwards out of her seat at a club a true recession indicator? Let's talk about it.
Or Lena Dunham leaving New York.
A recession indicator.
Or the fact that Gwyneth Paltrow said on a podcast,
if I'm honest and getting back into eating some sourdough bread and some cheese. There, I said it.
There's a super wide variety of what qualifies as a so-called recession indicator on the internet.
Okay, some of these indicators admittedly feel kind of extra. do you think any of them are real signs of economic troubles?
Well, I think that some of them could definitely be considered a more realistic piece of evidence about the economy, right? So I think of one particular example. One of these posts about our so-called recession indicator was about the partnership between Klarna and DoorDash. So the idea that people might be in a financial place where they want to pay for delivery or takeout in installments as opposed to paying for that upfront. Mm. So that could be a sign that maybe some folks, you know, their budgets are tight, they're having to cut back on spending, or, you know, they maybe can't afford to eat out as much as they used to. When we're talking about something like that, what we're really talking about is consumer spending, right? It's the engine of the U.S. economy. And if people stop spending money, that's really bad news. Other times, these so-called recession indicators are more just trends from the 2008-2012 era that have worked their way back around. I'm thinking of, you know, maybe low-rise jeans or like those knee-high Converse sneakers lace up to the knee. Yeah, that were super popular when I was in grade school. Or, you know, big dancey pop songs by Lady Gaga or Kesha. Everybody get in front. These are more trends from maybe the Great Recession era that folks spot working their way back into pop culture and see as a recession indicator in that way.
Yeah, okay. Most of these alleged recession indicators we're talking about, you know, they're coming from social media users and influencers, but what about the experts? You know, y'all look at economic data, but do economists look at trends too?
So this habit of searching for economic clues like this in unusual places is not a new one. And I would say that experts do it all the time. Of course, we have these really reliable, robust economic data sets like the jobs report, the inflation report, the PCE, something called the Personal Consumption Expenditures Index that, you know, investors and economists are looking at on a regular basis, right? But those reports can be lagging in that way. So economists and investors are often looking at these kind of offbeat sources of data or offbeat trends. And former Federal Reserve Chair Alan Greenspan famously looked at sales of men's underwear, right?
Greenspan looked at men's underwear sales as a key indicator of whether we're heading into a recession.
With the idea being that if you have to cut back, this might be a place where nobody else is going to know but yourself.
Now, Greenspan paid close attention to this because, according to him, men's underwear sales would stay pretty steady year after year. It didn't matter boxers or briefs, but anytime there was a dip, that would tell Greenspan that guys are pinching their pennies, not replacing old underwear, and to him, that would signal an economic downturn.
Then there are also these urban legends of the hemline index.
This phenomenon was first observed during the 1920s or the roaring 20s when the economy was great. The hemlines got a lot shorter. And then the further they moved towards the Great Depression, the longer the skirts got.
So young people online are definitely not the first people to search for economic insight off the beaten path, so to speak. But they certainly are taking it to a new level.
Okay, so I want to play a game with you. It's
the recession indicator game.
I'm going to toss out some of these, you know, supposed recession indicators at you. And you tell me whether it's right to consider them like a plausible sign of impending economic doom.
Okay.
Press on nails.
I would go with plausible. Well, it could be that times are tough. You need to cut back. Maybe you're cutting manicures out of your budget.
Returning to your natural hair color.
Plausible for the same argument.
Statement necklaces.
I would go with not so plausible. I'm not quite sure how that one could connect back to spending. Bad news for fashion, maybe, depending on your opinion, but maybe not the economy.
Declining to tip at the strip club.
Plausible. Maybe folks have less discretionary income and they just can't afford it.
Also, you guys, don't go to the strip club if you can't tip. That's the whole point.
Right. It's kind of like going out to eat. Like the tip has to, I think, be factored in.
Pay those ladies. Okay. Fewer meals out.
Definitely plausible. I know economists and other experts that actually watch for this type of data.
Whole body deodorant.
I would say that's debatable. I think it depends.
Ooh.
Are we buying it because the hot water bill is getting too expensive, or are we buying it because we're too lazy to shower? I think, like, that's the key.
Okay. And finally, paying in cash for your liquor.
This one, I feel like I would need to see more data on, especially because we paying in cash maybe for a potential discount, like to avoid a credit card fee? Are we buying less liquor? I feel like I would need a little more context on that.
Thanks for playing the recession indicator game. Don't forget to have your cats and dogs spayed and neutered.
We're going to come back to you in just a few for some more realistic advice on what to keep in mind when you're trying to spot an economic decline. But first, we're going to investigate the indicator that's making Kesha cool again. That's after this break. Don't stop, make it pop, DJ, blow my speakers up tonight. I'ma fight till we see the sunlight. Tick-tock on the clock, but the party don't stop, no.
New York Magazine dropped a special Hamptons issue on June 23rd, spotlighting the personalities, social scenes, and shifting power dynamics that define the summer enclave alongside the season's most exciting new openings. While New York has covered the Hamptons for years, this dedicated issue signals something more
the enduring fascination with a world that, in summer, becomes utterly unlike anywhere else. It's out now and on newsstands for a month. Don't miss it. Subscribe now to get access to it all. For a limited time, get up to 50% off subscriptions this season. Visit nymag.com/summersale to redeem.
Roy told me about using AI to cruise his way through every assignment. I had to stop him and say, like, why would you go through so much effort to get into an elite school like Columbia and then just not do the work? And he said, I'm here to find a co-founder and a wife.
This week on The Gray Area, is AI changing the college experience? Listen to The Gray Area with me, Sean Illing. New episodes every Monday, available everywhere.
It's Explain It To Me, and we are so back. Today, we're talking recession indicators. The recession indicator I've been wondering about is this idea of recession pop. I asked Switched On Pop co-host Charlie Harding if our music tastes really do shift with the economy.
Oh, we so are all looking for a crystal ball, and music feels like it's got to be it, because that's where we go to get into our feelings. So are our playlists indicating larger economic trends? I don't think so.
Okay, that's interesting, because lately there's been all this talk of recession pop.
Yeah.
What is recession pop referring to?
Recession pop is a made-up after-the-fact genre referring to upbeat bubblegum pop music from the time of the Great Recession, 2007, you know, sort of lasting 18 months or so, but music that continues after that, because the economic vibes were pretty iffy for a few years. So we're talking about Black Eyed Peas, Lady Gaga, Kesha, I mean, I really do think that Katy Perry's whole oeuvre represents that era better than any other. We're talking about songs like Teenage Dream, a song which has this ongoing chord progression that never resolves, that makes you have the feeling of the teenage life that will just never end. You're never going to grow up. And it has this, you know, wonderful nostalgic quality to it. Or Last Friday Night, the party that is the rager that you're going to go all out in. Those songs had a sort of light, effervescent, sort of post-disco, very poppy, programmed music kind of vibe. They were not serious, very tongue-in-cheek, and I just think that Katy Perry is the queen of that recession pop sound. You and I will be young forever. You make me feel like I'm living a teenage dream. It has to sound a little over-polished, really well-made, programmed music, meaning like drum machines, synthesizers, guitars in the line of like Nile Rodgers from Chic, but not nearly as well done. So like sort of funk style, disco style guitars, cheesy programmed strings in the background, and then the lyric has to be about some kind of either it's like party, party, party all night forever, this night, that night, this night's never going to end, or larger platitudes about like being a girl boss.
You said this is sort of a genre that people have named it after the fact.
Yes.
And, you know, it's called recession pop because there was a recession. What else was going on in music during that time other than these, you know, fun, poppy, we're going to party all night long songs?
Well, music was in a really difficult place. Music had been going through a recession for, you know, half a decade at that point. Ever since the turn of the millennium and Napster, the illegal downloading market basically had eviscerated the music industry.
The world has changed for the Goliaths of the record industry, Sony, Universal, and others. The record companies say they will lose billions in sales because fans are getting their music for free
You know, it saw its revenues like cut in half. And so that business was in free fall to the degree that they thought that their future was in downloadable ringtones.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny.
So the whole music industry was struggling and was going through a lot of changes. I mean, indie music was really big as the mainstream labels were struggling to figure out how to make sales anyways. People, there was a huge indie boom. Hip hop was going through a sort of bling and party hip hop era. There was a lot of upbeat music during these uncertain times. That's certainly true. I think it's important to note as well that during the Great Recession, there was plenty of music which didn't reflect an upbeat attitude. One of the biggest songs of 2007 was What Goes Around Comes Around by Justin Timberlake. Or Umbrella by Rihanna. I don't think of those as upbeat, happy songs. If you have to protect yourself from the rain under an umbrella, you know, this is more acknowledging maybe our deep upset of the national condition. So I think that even in the recession pop era, there's music of all kinds, upbeat, downbeat, sad, happy. And so I actually think that the genre is a very slippery one that represents a lot of different kinds of music.
Are we hearing that sound pop up with any new artists now?
Some people have said that supposedly like Chapel Roan and Charlie XCX are digging into that, you know, recession era in their new music. I'm a little more skeptical. If recession pop were doing really well right now, Katy Perry's Woman's World would have been a huge hit. And if anyone has followed, it has been a real stinker for her, unfortunately. A album full of kind of empty, anthemic songs that have really underperformed, leading to really poor album sales, ticket sales, and sort of a question of, is her entire career on the rocks? And so if she, for me, is the indicator of the original recession sound and recession pop were an indicator right now that we're leading into a recession, I would think that Katy Perry's new music would be doing phenomenally well, and it's not.
Why are we talking about recession pop right now? Why is that happening?
Well, one is that everyone's looking for vibes of what's going on in the larger economy. But I think more largely, millennials are aging out of being cool.
Oh, no.
Like, you stop listening to new music usually between 25 and 30 years old. And then when you get into a position of power where you become a curator of culture, now it's your time to assert the thing that was good when I was young is still good.
So this could be less about the economy and more about like those of us born in the 80s and early 90s kind of having a midlife crisis a little bit.
Absolutely. I think there was a huge cultural midlife crisis and a claiming of power.
Okay, but Charlie, I will say I've seen tons of bars and clubs during these recession pop dance parties, and I'm hearing like all these samples in music from current artists from that era. How do you explain all this?
Oh, recession pop is very much a real thing, and it's completely made up, which is to say that there was no such thing as recession pop during the recession. It's a term that was made up only very recently. Maybe someone used it on Twitter, but it's only become a part of the culture recently. And it's absolutely a nostalgia-driven way of getting maybe those millennials who've got more disposable income than at any other point in their life, certainly, you know, since the recession, and maybe you want to get them back going out to clubs again. Well, if you play their favorite music, you're going to get them out and dancing again. So I think the way that recession pop is being invoked is not trying to dig into the darkest moments of the recession, but rather remembering what it's like to be 19 years old.
Why do you think people turn to music in particular in these moments? Like, what is it about music?
I never quite understand these nostalgia cycles. There's like 10-year ones, 15-year ones, 20-year ones. I do think that a lot of what happens is that the people who are producing music and distributing music and the people who are promoting music, they are millennials. And so the producers behind artists who usually are a little bit younger than the producers and the songwriters, I'm not surprised that they're imbuing some of their influence. So I think some of it is just, I think people are just trying to relive their youth.
Okay, so our listening habits may not be the greatest economic indicator, but what can we rely on to tell us if we're actually hitting the R word? We'll find out after this break.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy, customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
I'm Julia Longoria, and this week on Unexplainable, things get a little personal with morning sickness.
What I saw in television shows and movies, people saying, ha, 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 she's pregnant.
She's been barfing for an hour.
When I woke up, I ran to the bathroom, and I sort of laughed after thinking, this is morning sickness, ha, ha. But within a week, realized that it was not very funny. And it got bad really fast. I just was like, okay, I have to work on this because there's nothing out there and I need the answers.
Follow Unexplainable for new episodes every Monday and Wednesday.
Okay, we're back with the Wall Street Journal's markets reporter, Hannah Aaron Lang. Okay, Hannah, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question, but I will ask it anyway. Are we in a recession?
I would say no. It's pretty safe to say we're not in a recession right now. There are many pieces of the economy that are still healthy by historical standards. Yeah, I think if you asked anybody on Wall Street or in the economics community, the answer would be no.
Okay, this brings me to a question posed by our listener, John, who we heard from earlier.
I wanted to know, what are the real recession indicators outside of like the things that you see on TikTok?
Another listener named Isaac called in with a similar question.
I have a question about the recession indicators. There's all this talk about like the stock market and the GDP. There's all sorts of different indicators. So among all of the indicators, like what is the most significant at getting at like the daily, everyday person's quality of life?
What are the indicators normies should be on the lookout for?
Well, I think a big one that I've mentioned already is reduced consumer spending. And some of these internet recession indicators kind of get at this, right? When uncertainty is high, most of us cut back on the extras in our budget and look for maybe cheaper ways to cover the necessities. If that happens on a large scale across income brackets, that will absolutely slow the economy. And I think the big one for everyday people is the job market, right? When sales start to slow at companies, when the economy contracts, employers start making layoffs. And that obviously is a huge impact on somebody's life and would spur even more households to have to rein in their spending, right? So I think signs of what I would call the labor market getting weaker, right, which is more job cuts, the unemployment rate going up, hiring slowing even more significantly than it already has. And I should mention that an official recession can actually only be declared retroactively. So it can be hard to say if we're in a recession right now.
What would you recommend people do to prepare for a potential recession? I think that's the real question, you know?
I think if I had to give one tip, you know, the biggest thing I would say is probably an emergency fund, anything from 3 to 12 months of living expenses saved. You really just want to have a cushion should something happen, like a job loss, right? I understand that might be really challenging for folks to prepare or build up right now, given the affordability challenges we faced over the past few years. But I think being prepared in the event of an unfortunate situation like that, I think could be really beneficial.
Are folks right to be worried about the economy now, or are we actually in a better place than we collectively feel like we are?
I think both of those things are true. again, the economic data is relatively reassuring right now. The inflation rate has come down so much from where it was in 2022, right? And the job market, as I mentioned, is still healthy. Unemployment is still low. The layoff rate is still low. The stock market has rebounded, right? It's back to where we were prior to the worst of the tariff turmoil kind of starting, right? On the other hand, I think it's absolutely true that this is been a very difficult economy to navigate for many people, particularly young people, right? I think that, you know, if folks are sensing that this is a difficult economy to kind of get started in as an adult, like I think that there are very real phenomena to point to that backs up that case, right? So I think it's both. And though not every recession indicator that we're labeling online is necessarily real by academic standards, I think the sentiment at the core of it is.
That's it for this week. Before we go, calling all dog owners. We know you probably know when your dog is hungry or lonely or happy, but do you feel like you have a deeper understanding of how your dog's feeling or what they're thinking about? If you're one of those people who uses the buttons to try to communicate with your pup, or if you have another story that illustrates your cosmic connection with your dog, send it in. Call 1-800-618-8545. This episode was produced by Hadi Mawakdi. It was edited by our executive producer, Miranda Kennedy, fact-checking by Melissa Hirsch, and engineering by Matthew Billy. I'm your host, Jonquil Hill. Also, before I let you go, I gotta let you in on something. Vox membership is having a sale. You can get over 30% off right now, and you'll get exclusive perks like ad-free podcasts. Members also get unlimited access to all of Vox's journalism. This support helps fund our work, and we really rely on listeners like you. You can sign up now at vox.com/members.